Yeah, come on, good morning. Speaking of snacks at the movies, I was with my really good friend Ryan Wirch, and he taught me the best way to do a snack in the movie theater. I think he's here. I saw him early. There he is. My best friend right there. He did this. So we were at the movie theater, and he's like, I got the best treat for you. He goes, this is what you do. You take a bag of popcorn. And then he particularly likes peanut M&Ms, which I love too. And he pours the peanut M's on top. And then he goes, then when you're in the dark, as you're like slowly eating it, you get like little treasures as you're like, oh, that was so good, you know, because you're like reaching in there and the peanuts kind of fall kind of midway bottom. So they kind of disperse all the way through. So as you're eating the popcorn, you're getting like little treasures the whole time. I was like, this is the best way to eat popcorn in the movie theater. Like all the whole time. It's not just the same thing. You get these little treasures. That's how church is. It's just treasures all the time. Hey, I just want to encourage you, if you want to know what's going on, we got a couple of areas to do that. One is just visit the front page of our website. If you just go to expressionchurch.com, we're trying to post what's happening, what's coming up next right there on the front page. And then you can go to our events page to kind of see the long term of what's taking place. We've also got baptisms today in the house. I'll be dismissing you here in a little bit if you're getting baptized. And then periodically, we've got new classes taking place over in this little portable next to us here at the 9:30. And Chad and Marna, Pastors Chad and Marna, are you here? Where are you? Stand up so everybody can see. There's Pastor Chad right there in the house. One of our pastors, him and his wife are going to be doing a marriage communication class. And he said this, it's useful for couples experiencing change, premaritals, early married, new parents, parenting of teens, recently empty nesters, or retirement. Basically, everyone. I like how he put it descriptively there, but it's just everyone come. So listen, I'm really excited about this class. It's going to be at the 9:30 there. And then coming up, we're going to be having two new classes right after Easter. And one of them, both of them, I'm really excited. Chad's going to be doing a book, the book of Hebrews, which is going to be fantastic. And then we've got Keith. Keith, stand on up. Keith Johnson right here. You may not know him, but he's the smartest guy in the room. And he loves quantum physics and all this kind of stuff. It's way beyond my pay grade. But anyways, he is going to teach a science and the Bible class. And we've walked through the curriculum, and it's going to be mind-blowing. So I just want to encourage you, that's going to be the Sunday after Easter. That is coming up. And then March 8th, we have our worship night. So we do these periodically just because we want your face to melt. So because we love to worship Jesus. And I just want to let you know, in those moments, you need to expect God to give you words and illustration and ideas and thoughts. And it's just a time where God just goes big in our lives because we set time aside to just go, Jesus, you give it. Whatever it is. Okay. I'm not even going to try. Yeah. My brother-in-law, Brad, you look good today, bro. I was looking over at you. I was like, dang. We got Indiana Jones sitting right here in the third row. Melissa, you got to show everybody your handsome hunk. Come on, stand on up. Let everybody see. I mean, she waited like forever for this guy. Come on. Man, he's looking good. He's been working out. I work out, and I feel like I get flabbier. He works out, and he gets like better looking. I'm like, what is going on? Oh, that's because I really don't work out. That's the problem. And it's like, yeah. I'm like, oh, that feels good. Yeah, three times. Man, that was great. Hey, I just also want to encourage you to get in an e-group. I've been so enjoying mine, and I wanted to just say, in e-groups, it's a place where we start praying for each other, and we start contending for what God can do. And I want to send a word out to Keith Foster and his wife, who are in my e-group, and we're praying for Keith. He's been battling cancer for way too long, and I told him this morning, I said, enough is enough. And so would you just, Keith and Kim, will you guys stand and let's just stretch our hands forth. And anybody else battling cancer, will you stand up? And we're just going to say enough is enough. So if you're battling cancer in any way, and it's weird, like all these people are standing now, but okay, right here. Yeah, that's right. Come on, let's contend for no more, right? that we don't have to put up with this, that Jesus is more than enough. So, Father, we thank you for healing. We thank you for restoration. We thank you that sickness and disease and cancer, we put an eviction notice on you, and we say in Jesus' name, you don't get to stay. You don't get to meld with ourselves. You have to be gone in Jesus' name. We declare it now. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come on, we're already getting started here. If you're watching live online, we're praying for all those things that are going on in your life, but you should have come to church. No, I'm just kidding. All right. We've been on a series called the Fight Series, and this is the last of the series. And it has been really good, but I got to move on. But you know, if you haven't had an opportunity to watch this series, please go back and watch all of them. I just want you to know, like, I don't just prepare messages way in advance and then just kind of recycle. Like, everything that we communicate on a Sunday morning, including the worship, is God-inspired. We sit and we pray constantly for the Holy Spirit to lead us in what goes on in this place. So please don't miss those different things. And you can check it out online. It's a great place. But today, the title of my message is Keep Moving Forward. Keep moving forward. Our theme verse has been Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 12. And I just want to read it before we kind of get into the body of the message. And it's this: Paul writing to the church in Ephesus. And this is the last chapter where he's just kind of putting his... like, this is it. I'm giving you everything I got. A final word: be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all the strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies. We got to remember that. Your spouse is not your enemy. Your boss is not your enemy, right? For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of this unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in heavenly places. One of the things that I believe that the enemy wants to do is he wants to keep us from moving forward. He wants to stop us in our place so that we actually stop taking territory. We stop taking steps of faith. We stop believing that he can. We stop seeing people with potential. We start believing that he doesn't have our best. We stop giving. We stop praying. We start focusing on little things. And because of that, we end up stopping and we discontinue moving forward. Psalm 1:1 says, "Blessed is the man who doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly or stand in the path of sinners or sit in the seat of the scornful." You see this pattern with the psalmist as he's talking about that there's this progression that we as believers and as people can actually take place in, is that we start walking and then we stop and then we end up sitting. And God never intended as a believer that we would ever stop. But I just want to let you know that the battle is for us to keep moving forward, but the enemy wants to do whatever he can to stop you dead in your tracks. Because honestly, when you stop, it's amazing what takes place. I'll give you an example how we kind of focus on things and we make little things into big things when we stop moving forward. Just this morning, getting ready in the morning when my wife is here and she's not in LA with our daughter, it's very helpful because I just kind of bring stuff out of the closet and she kind of puts it together and I'm like, yes, I'm going to look amazing. And I feel so confident. And now it's like, I have to pray in the Holy Spirit. I walk into my closet, I pull stuff out, I lay it there, I call her, I text my sister with pictures and she's like, none of the above. Because I really don't have a gift when it comes to this kind of stuff. I just kind of grab whatever and it feels right. And my wife goes, why are you doing that? And so this morning, this is a fairly new shirt. I got it in South Africa, and I loved it, and it was totally wrinkled. And so I went in, and I was ironing it, and I grabbed some of our starch, and I sprayed it, and it stained the whole front of the shirt. And I know you've probably never done this, but once you're down a road, like, there's no coming back. So I'm like, no, this is the shirt. I do not know what else I'm going to wear. And I've spent way too much time already on this dumb shirt, ironing it. So we're going with the shirt. So literally, I'm like, now I've got a rag covered in water, and I'm scrubbing the front of this because it's covered in all of these dots. And so I'm scrubbing, and they're still there. You just can't see them, but they're all over my shirt this morning. But I was refusing to change directions. And I think kind of our life sometimes can be like that, and that's actually what the enemy wants to do, is he wants to stop us so that we stop moving forward, right? So then because I'm so focused on this shirt, I end up being late, right? And then I forgot to wake my son up, so now he's late, which is always my fault when Jack forgets to wake up in the morning. It's a faithful 14-year-old right now in his life. I mean, I love you, son. But it's amazing how we can focus on these little things in our life, and it keeps us from moving forward. The main text this morning is out of Mark chapter 2, and it's the story of Jesus early on in his ministry as he calls the disciple Levi, who is a tax collector. And this is what it says. When Jesus went out to the lake shore again and taught the crowds that were coming to him, as he walked along, he saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at his tax collector booth. Now, I'm not sure if anybody has ever loved a tax collector, but you just got to know a little bit about these tax collectors, as they were actual Jews, and because they were Jews in their hometown, that they were actually banned from any civic duties. They were never allowed to testify in court because it was under the assumption that they were just constant liars. Not only that, but they weren't allowed to even be in the synagogue. They were kicked out of the religious establishment of their people. And then on top of that, their entire family was shamed because of the job that they now occupy. So here is a man sitting at his booth collecting taxes. The table is there, and Jesus walks up to him, and this is what he says. He doesn't go into a long dissertation. He just says, "Follow me and be my disciple." And that's what Jesus said to him. And it says immediately that Levi got up and followed him. Think about it for a moment. Here is a man that has been desperate for a lifeline, looking for something to pull him out of the life that he has chosen. He's probably tried everything under the sun to anesthetize, to make him feel better, to try to get him out of his mind and his position and his heart and the world in which he lives in, and nothing has actually helped. And then Jesus steps up and doesn't even give a tremendous... That's when you know somebody's ready. Levi didn't need for him to explain. He saw a lifeline in that man's eyes that was different than anything else he had ever tried. And Jesus just said, "Come follow me." And the Bible says that Levi didn't go, "Oh, well, hold on just a second. I recognize that you're giving me a lifeline, but I've got a lot of things to take care of before I go with you." That's when you know someone's desperate. When there's no excuse in their heart. There's no argument, conversation, you know, "I need to get a contract to make sure if I follow you that in the end I'm going to still get paid. Like, I'm leaving everything and I'm coming with you because I've been in this place way too long and you seem to have something that I've been looking for." And so the Bible says that Levi left everything and followed Jesus. And then verse 15, it gets even better. Later, Levi, still kind of now moving forward, and you have to think about it when it comes to that idea of keep moving. Levi stood up, and he left everything, and he began to move forward. He wasn't stuck anymore. Later, Levi invited Jesus and his disciples to his home as a dinner guest, along with many tax collectors and other disreputable sinners. Verse 16. But when the teachers of the religious law, who were Pharisees, saw him eating with tax collectors and other sinners, they asked his disciples, "Why does he eat with such scum?" You know, I think a lot about the religious leaders in the Bible. I know that they, you know, we give them a bad rap and we dislike them and we think they're, you know, everything that's anti-Jesus, and they are. But I don't think they started out that way. I think when they started out, maybe as a young boy or wherever it came about, and many of them, that's where they kind of started, there was this desire in them to perfect their life. There was this desire in them to make sure they were following God's law. And somewhere along the way, they got stuck. And it's interesting to see that now they spend their time trying to figure out how to make it perfect so that God can move. That they're trying to find the combination of the right steps and the right things so that everything seems right in their life. They've moved into an area of equating God to a equation versus a relationship. So everything is, well, if I do this, then God does that. And everything was this. And it's amazing how when they came to a place where Jesus is actually rescuing people, what do? They're so stuck. They've stopped moving forward that instead of seeing someone's potential and seeing someone's value, they instead want to share why they shouldn't be here. Somewhere along the way, the Pharisees stopped moving forward. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5 says this, that there's a people that have a form of godliness but deny its power. 1 Timothy chapter 1, look at this. It says, don't let these people, this is Paul talking to Timothy, who's a pastor of a church, don't let these people waste their time in endless discussions of myths and spiritual pedigree. These things only lead to meaningless speculations, which don't help people live a life in faith. It's interesting that we, all of a sudden, we come to a place where we stop moving forward, and when we stop moving forward, we make everything a mountain. We all of a sudden make everything something to die for. We're gonna argue this out. Or we find ourselves constantly making excuses for the reason why we've stopped. We've stopped worshiping. We've stopped giving. We've stopped progressing. We've stopped asking people if they want us to pray for them, or inviting people to church or talking to them about Jesus. And we find ways and reasons for why we don't do it. And ultimately, you got to understand the fight. The enemy wants to make us Pharisees. Having a form of godliness, but denying its power to flow through you into people's lives. This is the fight. Jesus is sitting with a group of people that need him, and the Pharisees are standing there throwing their 2 cents in the ring. Jesus didn't need their 2 cents. He needed them to see the value of people, but they stopped valuing people because their opinion became so much more important. And this is what happens to us when we stop moving forward, when we stop taking steps of faith. When we stop allowing our faith to be like a child, where we just believe that God can. And then someone comes to us and says, "Hey, brother, I'm just believing God's going to like double my finances this year." And you stand there and you're like, "Where's that in the Bible? Who said? Do you know that God's going to take you through dark times?" I'm just sharing the truth, brother. No, you just rained on my opportunity to take a step of faith. Jesus said that we are to have faith like a child. Where did we all of a sudden make it complicated? And then I know my own mind. It's amazing how many excuses I have to do anything. I really like staying at home. I really like my house perfectly clean. Then no one comes over. And somehow Annika and my wife convinced me that I should have an e-group. And I am so glad I did. Paul says this in that same verse in Timothy. He says, the purpose of my instruction is that all believers would be filled with that comes from a pure heart. That's that childlikeness. And a clear conscience and genuine faith. But some people have missed the whole point. They have turned away from these things and spend their time in meaningless discussions. They want to be known as teachers of the law of Moses, but they don't know what they're talking about, even though they speak so confidently. Just want to talk to you, brother. Listen, I get it. I have so many excuses, it's ridiculous. And those excuses are actually the battle to get me from keep taking a step forward. Listen, steps are simple. Take a step in forgiveness. Take a step in faith, in trusting God. What's funny is typically when we get into this place where we don't like something about church or whatever, and we build an argument, actually the argument is an excuse for us to not move forward. Oh, well, that church, it always talks about money. I was thinking about that this morning because I think about you guys. And I'm like, yeah, we should just stop. Because so many people get bent out of shape about it. But I was like, man, Lord, I don't want our people to miss out on your blessing. And it's not that we're turning this relationship into an equation. If we do this, then God does that. No, it's steps of faith that are uncomfortable. It's when was the last time you asked your neighbor over for dinner? I know they're weird. I think every neighbor is. It's just the nature of being a neighbor. They think the same about you, by the way. The point of all of this is that we would be filled with love that comes from a pure heart, a clear conscience, and genuine faith that I am like a child and nothing's going to stop me from taking a step forward. Because you got to understand, all of hell is trying to keep you from taking one step. So really the question is, every day, I know you may hate your job. You think your boss is the devil and you're trying to find one, a new one, but you can't. And so you keep going, this is terrible. I hate this place. Maybe the question is the realization that you've stopped moving forward. And you've created an excuse for the reason why you don't show up to work with faith. Maybe the one step of faith that day is to be nice to the person next to you or pray for somebody around you. Show up with great faith, believing that you are the lifeline for people who are dying. I'm sorry, I freak out when I hear people say, man, everybody at my work is, man, they're so, man, I just want to work in a Christian environment where everybody prays all day. By the way, that attitude is exactly what the Pharisees did to Jesus in that moment. How could you be sitting with such scum? How could, this is Levi moving forward. Levi gets up, out, and leaves everything to just keep walking with Jesus. You know what's funny? When you get around people who are moving forward and you've been sitting for a while, typically what we do is we judge them. You know why we judge them? Because they're doing the very thing that we wish we were doing, but we're too guilty to do it anymore, so we would rather judge. I'm sorry, it's the last message on fight, so I gotta give it all today. Mark chapter 4, this is the next chapter. Jesus tells his disciples, he says, listen, let's cross to the other side of the lake. So they took Jesus, so they took Jesus in the boat and started out, leaving the crowds behind. But soon a fierce storm came up. High waves were breaking into the boat, and it began to be filled with water. You gotta know, the moment you decide to step in the boat and go in a direction, the devil's not gonna play patty cake. So somehow he wants to get you in the middle of the lake and get you to stop moving forward. And so then in that midst, what do we do? The disciples get up and they shake Jesus, and this is exactly what they say. Don't you care for us? You see, when you get in that place where you stop moving forward, it's amazing how your mind all of a sudden starts thinking crazy things about God. And so we start asking the question, why, rather than God, what? Why? I've been praying. I did this. I did that. Yeah. Are you doing this all because you think it's about an equation versus a relationship? Maybe he puts you in that place. Maybe he's having you hang on. Maybe he wants to show you something, because in that midst of the storm, real faith arises in you, because there's people waiting on the other side. I'm sorry. I'm smiling. I've been wrestling with this all week, because I realize I fixate on little things, and I stop looking at God with eyes of wonder. You know, it was interesting when our son was sick for that entire year. Thank God for my wife, because there was many times in there where I definitely wanted to quit. Some of you know the story. We traveled all over the United States trying to find what was wrong with him, and he was losing weight so fast, and he would lay on the floor and just be miserable all day long. He missed all of fourth grade, and I just remember in that moment thinking, God, if this is what it costs, I'm out. And I remember my wife just saying to me, she's like, honey, I don't know what to tell you, but I'm just going to take a step forward today. And she's like, I know we're asking Jesus to heal him, but we can't let that stop us. Let's just figure out what today holds. Let's just take a step of faith today. God, what do you want us to do today? How do you want us to take a small, whether it's just a small step, because we're going to get stuck. And what happens when you get stuck, because I've watched people who've been sick for a long period of time, is you just kind of give up. And you wonder, what's the plan of the enemy? To get you to give up. So you think about, in this story, and many of you know it, they get in the boat and Jesus says, hey, we're going over to the other side. And in the middle of it, there's a storm. And in the storm, they freak out, which I would too. I'm highly nauseous just from sitting on a swing. So at this point, I'm fully throwing up, unless I got the patch behind my ear. And there's that desperation of, God, we're going to die. And so what do you want to do? You want to row back. This is too hard. And Jesus ultimately said, we got to go over to the other side. And here's what I want you to understand when it comes to what Jesus wants to do. And how we have to fight against being a Pharisee, someone who's stuck, is on the other side of this lake was a man who was desperate. He had been struggling for so long and nothing could help him. And it was so bad that they basically confined him to a cemetery, into a cave. And he had to listen to what was going on in his mind. And everything that he tried, shackles, they did all sorts of things to try to get him to calm down, and nothing would happen. Nothing would work. There was a woman who for 12 years had been bleeding internally, and nothing could fix her. The Bible even says that she had an issue of blood, and that she went to doctors and spent all of her money and now was broke. She had been suffering in silence for years. So if you get the scenario, here's us. We're like Levi. We get out of the place that we were. We experience Jesus for the first time. Our life comes alive to him. Everything feels new. It's beautiful. We get up out of that seat that we've been sitting in, and we start taking steps forward. We start inviting all of our friends and everybody around us, and we're at the grocery store, and we're telling somebody, hey, I just came to Jesus, and they're like looking at us, and you don't even care. You're telling every family member, Jesus saved me, and they're like, you are a freak, and you're like, I know, isn't it great? And then somewhere along the line, man, people start saying stuff to you, and you stop being so passionate about it, and you get in the boat, and then you enter the fight. The enemy hates the fact that you are a light set in a city that is desperate for Jesus. And he wants to put a gag order on you. He wants to restrict the power of God flowing through you. He wants to keep you shut up and at home. So somewhere along the way, man, I just find myself and many of us in that boat, and we have given up. We have stopped moving forward. We've actually started paddling backwards. Some of us have jumped out of the boat and trying to swim to the shore. And then we get to the shore, and what do? Every time we see somebody get in a boat and start taking steps forward, we judge them for it. We give our 2 cents of the reason why it's not going to work. And on the other side, Jesus gets out of the boat, and this man that everybody had given up on, he casts the demonic spirits possessing him out. And the Bible says the man sat at Jesus' feet, amazed. And that man became one of the greatest evangelists in that area. And then they went to another place where this woman was, who reached out to touch the hem of his garment and be healed. I wonder, and this was the vision that God gave my son, in the midst of the middle of his sickness, God spoke to him and said, on the other side of this, there are people who you're going to pray for who are sick, and God's going to heal. And I just want to say to you, son, you got to understand what the fight is. The enemy wants to keep you embarrassed and not able to pray for people who are sick at your school. And what does the enemy do? He immediately comes in your mind and says, oh, don't pray for them. They're not going to like you, or they're going to freak out, or they're going to think you're weird. So what? Well, what if they don't get healed? Who said you're the one that makes them healed anyways? Our job is just to park our bus and keep moving forward. Just keep moving forward like a child. I just believe, Dad. I've made so many excuses for the reason why I've talked myself out of just taking one step forward to love somebody today. Oh, man, I'm so busy, and I gotta get here, and don't you know, man, I'm in the grocery store, and I feel like I'm supposed to, I gotta get home. Jack's waiting for me. His stomach's gonna eat his brain if I don't feed him soon. Well, in conclusion, keep moving forward in faith. Fake like a child. Keep taking steps of faith, of obedience, and small ones and big ones. Simple trust that Jesus is good and that He will get you to the other side and put you where you need to be. Trust him in little ways every day. Let go of what you've been carrying. Jesus said, come to me. I am good, and my burden is light. So forgive. Don't carry. Release it. Take every opportunity to love somebody today. Pray out loud for someone. Invite someone to church. Share your story. Invite someone to dinner. Give a gift. Job 17:9 says, for the righteous keep moving forward. So good. I didn't even know it existed. I found it just looking through scripture. It's amazing what you can find in the Bible. The righteous keep moving forward. If you ever read the rest of Psalm 1, I'm going to finish it off and then we're done. Like, I mean, I don't have like 75 more verses. Here it is, Psalm 1:2. But your delight is in the law of the Lord. That's his word. That's who he is. That's relationship. And in this, you meditate day and night, and you will become like a tree planted by rivers of water, which bring forth their fruit in season, and whose leaves always shall not wither. And whatever you do, you prosper. You keep moving forward. You know what's interesting about being a lead pastor is, first of all, I didn't sign up for this. It wasn't like something I was dreaming of as a child. God called me into it. And you know what's interesting? That was really cool right there. You know what's interesting about it is I find myself in a place where I can become very Pharisaical. That, you know, and we can actually, even because we do a lot of spiritual things, we use those as an excuse to actually not genuinely love people. Take a step out of our house. Get involved in people's lives. Give extravagantly. I was with the guest speaker who was here a couple of weeks ago, and he was talking about how the Holy Spirit just told him to just start giving more than 10%. He was just going to start giving 20%. And he's like, dude, it's hard. But you know what it's done? It's challenged our faith. I don't care what you do. I'm just saying that I don't want to be stuck anymore. And every one of us have to make an answer of why are we making excuses for the reason why we're not moving forward anymore. And figure out what that excuse is and decide that you're going to respond to it by faith. And he was like, man, it has been amazing how my family, my kids, and my wife, every week when we give, we sit around and we just can't wait to see the opportunities that God is going to give us because we're trusting him. I think that's with forgiveness. Letting it go. Stop carrying it. And so this is my prayer for you as we're done and we're concluded, and I was only 3 minutes over. That's perfect. I'm going to ask that the Holy Spirit show you what has caused you to stop moving forward. And that verse in Timothy, that we have a form of godliness but deny its power, we can actually make ourselves look pretty dang awesome. But the love of God was meant to flow through us. So what kind of dams, boulders have come into your life that have stopped the flow of God's love through you? What decisions, what thought processes, because this is the battle. What's kept you from praying for someone? What's kept you from sharing your faith? What's kept you from coming to church? What's kept you from reading your Bible? What's kept you from just praying, taking one step forward? Well, I don't have time. That's the dumbest excuse ever because I use it all the time. So then just get smart at the devil. Set an alarm. I'm going to wake up every day and I'm going to pray. And the next thing you know, you find yourself praying. It's that easy. You just stop making excuses. You stop doing what the Pharisees did, and you stop judging, and you start taking steps forward. So the band is going to, oh yeah, if you are going to get baptized today, I just want to release you to the side over here to go ahead and exit. Would you stand with me? We come to the conclusion of our services, and it's always my desire that we would respond. I don't ever want church to be a time or a place where we just hear something and then we go home and we're not the same. And so in the end of our service, two things. If you're here today and you've never asked Jesus into your life, or you've walked away from Jesus and a relationship with him, this is the place to get it right. Because all you got to do is say yes again or for the first time to him. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth, you say, Jesus, you are Lord of my life. I give you my heart. The Bible says that in that moment, when you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, you will be saved. You're like Levi getting out of that seat, and Jesus gave you a lifeline and says, you don't ever have to be the same. Your past does not dictate your future. I have forgiven all of your sin. You do not have to stand like that anymore. You can keep moving forward. I've made a way for you when there seemed to be no way. That's what Jesus did. And if you're here this morning and you say, Pastor, will you pray for me? I want to say that prayer. Would you just lift your hand real quick with me? Come on. Come on. Just thank you. Thank you. Just thank you for those hands. Thank you. I see you. Thank you. Come on. Let's just thank the Lord for this moment. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. I see your hand. Thank you. I see your hand. Let's just pray this prayer together. Jesus, I believe that you are who you said you are. You're the answer. You're the Son of the living God. You died and rose again so that I can have life. I say yes to you, and I receive your love. I don't have to try to make myself perfect. You make me into who you want me to be. Thank you, Jesus. Now, for the rest of you, I just want to say this is an opportunity for you to ask the Holy Spirit what's caused you to stand still. And then let it go. Speak to it. Lord, I give that over to you. Jesus, I've been carrying this, or I've been doing this, or I've been thinking this, and I give that. I want you just to close your eyes and allow the Holy Spirit to come and move in this place. And so, Holy Spirit, I just ask that you would take this message, and God, that we would be a people who are taking steps forward for the lost, that we would see that in the midst of our fight, there are people on the other side, that God, we're not going to quit. We're not going to take steps back. We're just going to take, if we have to today, just one step forward. And what is that one step today that the Holy Spirit is saying for you to do? Holy Spirit, come. Come in this place. Miracles are taking place even right now. Shackles are being broken off. I see that some of you have been so bound by things in your past that you felt like you couldn't take a step forward. And those things are broken right now in Jesus' name. The weight that some of you have been carrying is being released right now in Jesus' name. Some of you are feeling lighter than you've ever felt. Some of you just need to let go of some of those arguments that you've had that you keep bringing up over and over again. Let those go. It's not your job to die on a hill for that. It's your job to love people and to love Jesus. So come, Lord, come, Lord, come, Lord, come, Lord, come, Lord, come in this place, Holy Spirit. Come on, we got a couple more minutes. And as a And I think Ryan Matthews did this the last message of 2019. He talked about taking a step forward. And I think it would be appropriate, whether you just want to take a step where you're at, or you really want to take a step out of your seat or to the side or to the front. I don't really care what kind of step you take, but I think you need to take a step. Whether it's jotting down something, whether it's making a commitment to make a phone call later today, or whether you're going to take a step of faith in something that God's calling you to give, or what you're going to do, but get that one thing and then take a step. I'm going to take a step today, one small step into all that you have for me, God. Because love is about to be released in this place. And when love is released, the power of God is released even greater. So I want you to get ready for power to be flowing through you. I want you to get ready for miracles to take place in your life, and instantlies and suddenlies, because you're getting out of that place of being stuck, and you are breaking off the shackles that have held you and the excuses that have dominated you, and you are going to be seeing people on the other side that God has called you to set free. Come on, right now, take that step forward in Jesus' name. Let's sing this.
Oh, it's free.